We are holding on the last words of Kofyud Tes Amud Beis. We learned yesterday Machlokas Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish on the question whether hair of an animal that's attached to a piece of skin, which in turn is attached to a piece of meat, whether that can be considered a yad or not. So we said, Rabbi Yochanan had said yes, Rish Lakish had said no, because if you try to pick it up by that hair, then it's going to snap. So we went through a discussion about that. We concluded that either we are talking about one hair, and the reason Rish Lakish would consider it a yad, or the reason why conceivably we could have considered it a yad were it not for the fact that it's going to break, is because it actually goes through the skin all the way to the flesh. Or the other way we looked at it was that in fact it doesn't, but we're talking about picking it up by a bunch of hairs at a time. And when you pick it up by a bunch of hairs at a time, then in fact it can be picked up like that. So we had learned that braisa, we had learned that machlokas in connection with a braisa that talked about two human bones that have half kazesim of meat of flesh from the mess on them, and then they were put, and then the ends without the meat were put into a house. And we had a machlokas and a braisa about it, whether the house becomes tamei or not. So then Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish would be arguing about that braisa. Does it mean dafka bones? What about if instead of bones it was hair? So now the Gemara says, "Ikad masim la masnisin." There are those who learn that the machlokas Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish actually was on Mishnah, where it mentioned a whole bunch of things: ha'over ha'roitav akifahola, the skin of the animal, and the gravy and the kifa, which we're going to talk about soon. The kifa is the spices that were cooked with it, etc. So we said mitzkayf and the tamid tumas oichlin. So those all combined together as far as tumas oichlin. Now before we were talking about when we talk about a bone versus a hair, we're focusing more on it being a yad, because on being a handle, because you could pick up the flesh using that bone. And then we talked about whether it could be a shomer as well. Now we're focusing on it being a shomer. The skin itself could be either a yad or a shomer, of course, but the roitev, the gravy, for example, that's on the meat is not going to be a yad by necessity. It's going to be a shomer. So we gave a list over there of things. We said mitzkayfin, they combine, and the fact that we say they combine automatically means we're obviously talking about a shomer, because a yad doesn't combine to make up the volume as we've been learning so far. So now on that would be the machlokas. Amar Rish Lakish l'shanu ala etzim, dav is shomer. So now Rish Lakish would say that that's only we're talking about bone, because a bone can function as a shomer. Avol nima. But if it comes to a hair, loy havi a shomer, then that wouldn't be considered a shomer, and therefore, because it wouldn't be considered a shomer. Rabbi Yochanan afilu nima nami havi a shomer, whereas Rabbi Yochanan would say that even a hair can be considered a shomer. And we'll go through the same discussion as we did before. Amalei Rish Lakish l'Rabbi Yochanan, or meik a shomer al gabi shomer. How do you have a shomer on top of a shomer? If you're going to argue that a bone, mela, there's nothing else on top of it between it and the flesh. But if you're going to tell me that, when it comes to a hair, you can consider a hair a shomer. Well, the hair is on top of the skin, and the skin itself is the shomer. And as we've learned before, there's no such thing as a shomer on top of a shomer. In halacha, we consider only one shomer. And the answer is holding machalfa, like we answered before. The hair actually penetrates all the way through the skin and goes all the way to the flesh. So therefore, it's not a shomer on top of a shomer. It's two shomerim, one side by side. And as we talked about before, those each of them can be considered an independent shomer. But Maskif Rav Acha, but Rav Acha asks, as we learned yesterday, he had the same question in the previous version. Elamayata, by that logic, if you're telling me that the hair goes all the way through the skin, tefillin heche kasvinan, then how are we allowed to write tefillin on the skin of an animal? But in Kasiva Tam of Aleka, don't you require a complete perfect writing, namely that there's no holes in it, the Lekka, and now you're not going to have because the whole skin is going to be riddled with holes wherever there was hair. And as Mara says, like we learned yesterday, Ishmitze, Hodder Amrid Marava, Rav Acha, in asking this question, forgot what they said in the West, in the Eretz Yisrael, from Nekev Shad, Yoy over Olav, in a Nekev, any hole over which any hole over which the ink can pass without falling through. Ain't a necker is not considered a hole, so therefore, no, you don't have to worry about these holes, these microscopic holes that are going to be in the skin from where the hair was, because those holes are small enough that the ink will just pass over them without penetrating through, and therefore that's not considered a problem. Well, continuing the same discussion again as we had yesterday in connection with the Braisa, sort of Yechanan questions the Shlokish, how are you telling me that hair is not able to be considered? That hair is not able to be considered a shomer. What about, we learn later in the perek, or sheyeshal of kazayis baser, when you have a skin of an animal that has a kazayis of flesh on it, and again, it's siv hayotzim menu, so now if a person touches a strand of meat that sticks out of that main kazayis, or with sidesha kenegdo, or he touches a hair that is opposite, that's on the skin opposite the flesh, so you have on one side of the skin is the flesh, and exactly on the opposite side is a hair, and if he touches that hair, tomei, then he's going to become tomei from touching the vela, my lav mishum shomer. Now, why would he become tomei from touching that hair? Well, just because the hair is a shomer. So you see, says Rabbi Yochanan, the hair can be a shomer. And the answer is, no, mishum yad, you would say that the hair becomes a yad, it's a handle to be able to pick it up. Well, the question is, Nima achas lamai chazia. Well, then what good would one hair do for that purpose if when you pick it up, then it's going to snap? So the difference is, so it's not just a difference of which braisa or which mishnah the machlokas is referring to. When we started, the previous version of the machlokas that we learned yesterday was that when you had, as far as the human bones with flesh on them, Rav Shlokish had said that a bone can be a yad, but a hair would not be a yad, whereas Rav Yechanan had said a hair can also be a yad. Here we're taking it the other way around. Here we're starting to say that a bone can be a shomer, but a hair can't be a shomer. So now, what is Rav Shlokish going to do with the Mishnah later on in the parak? He's going to explain that the Mishnah is telling us there that the hair does function as a yad. Well, the question is nima achas lamai chazia, but how could one hair possibly be a yad? Wouldn't it break off as soon as you try to pick it up? And the answer is kidu amar of ilah b'milayish ben amaloy. And as we learned yesterday, like Rabbi Ilah says in a different context, that you can be talking about one bristle among all the other bristles on a stalk of grain. Hachanami b'nima shemein animin. The same thing over here. We can be talking about one hair among a bunch of hairs. And again, the hecha itma de Rabbi Ilah, where did Rabbi Ilah say his statement about bristles in the first place? So that would be aha. He said it in connection with Tznan. We learned in a Mishnah that we learned yesterday, a Mishnah in another Mishnah in Masechta Uktzin that says Hamalai Shabishibolin, these bristles on a stalk of grain, mitamin, they mixtafin, they can transmit tumah in either direction because they're a yad, but they're not mitzadif, they don't combine together because they're not a shomer. So again, we can ask Malai Lamai Chazia, so what would you need, what would you use a bristle for if you tried to pick it up by the bristle? It would break off. Omer Rabbi Ilah, Malai Shabin Amaloyin, and Rabbi Ilah says, because we're not just talking about one bristle, we're talking about the whole collection of them, and if the group of them together is strong enough to be able to pick up the stalk of grain by, and therefore to be considered a yah. So in short, we have two different versions of the Machlokas of Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish. In the first version, the Shlokish says that a bone can be a yad, but a hair can't be a yad. And then the Gemara had said within that we have the Mishnah later on in our Perek that talks about the hair, so we could argue that it means a shomer and it wouldn't be considered shomer or gabi shomer because the hair penetrates all the way through. Or we could say because you're talking about a bunch of hairs together and therefore it can be a yad. Then in the second version, we're saying that it starts out that the Shlokish says that a bone can be a shomer, but a hair can't be a shomer. And then the question is, in that later mission, isn't it a shomer? And we're saying it would be a yad, and we're talking about many hairs together and not just one. Okay. Now, the Mishnah had continued. After we talked about the skin, the next thing the Mishnah had said is v'horoitzer, and the juice of the meat. So that was another thing that we said that is considered a shomer, and therefore it combines together with the meat to make up. So it's not a yad because you don't pick up the meat by it, but it is a shomer because it helps protect the meat underneath it, and therefore it combines together to make up the kabetza or whatever size we're talking about. As far as Tumas Eichlin, as we said in the Mishnah, not Tumas Nevelis. So my roitzev, what do I mean by roitzev over here? I'm a Rava Shumna. So Rava says, I mean, the fat, like for your cooking meat in a pot, your fat that floats to the top. So actually, so Rava would say that's considered, that's what the roitzev means in our Mishnah. Amalei Abaya, but Abaya says, who asked me, Tana Chumas Earthen? What do you mean? The fat itself is perfectly good food. So forget about being with Stata. Forget about combining together with the meat. We say, in other words, the implication is only the Mishnah is saying, only because it combined with together with the meat, are we saying that it has Chumas, that it's able to contract Chumas Earthen? And what if it was by itself? Or you had a Kazayas, if you had a Kabeza, rather, of that fat by itself, it wouldn't be able to become Tomei. Why not? It's perfectly good food. Now, Tosfos points out, in fact, then you could also argue maybe it would have Tumas Nevelis. On the other hand, maybe you could say, fine, as we said in the Mishnah, as we have other examples, that you have sometimes different cases where something can have Tumas Earthen and not Tumas Nevelis, so fine, so it's not such a question that it should have Tumas Nevelis, but in any way, why doesn't it have Tumas Earthen? It's perfectly good food by itself. Elo. So rather, Abaya says, Chelev de Kodesh. What it means is, it's fact that congealed on the not really so much fat, but Rashi defines it as lecha, liquid, that exudes from the meat, it's like a thick liquid that oozes out of the meat and then congeals on the surface. So that kind of thing. You wouldn't eat by itself, but you would eat together with the meat, and therefore it can combine together. Rashi actually says two. So that's what we mean. Chelev de Kodesh, you have this fat that, not fat really, but this fatty substance that congealed on the surface of the meat. So therefore you wouldn't eat it by itself, but it does combine together to make up the kibetza. Within that, by the way, you have a machloekus among the achronim, and it still holds that davka when it's congealed, but if it was still liquidy, then it would not actually combine together. Whereas the Chazon Ish holds there's no difference either way. Once we're talking about the stuff that actually we're talking about in the previous case, when we talk about fat that floats to the surface of the soup, for example, when Rava is saying that's what the Mishnah means by roitev, and Abaya says no. So within that, you have machlokas, the Nitziv holds that would be dafka if it's congealed, whereas the Chazon Ish says either way, it doesn't matter. But now when we're talking about what's on the surface of the meat, it oozes out and congeals on the surface of the meat, so it would have to congeal in order to be considered in between the time. When we say in the Gemara over here, when we have the word chelev de kodesh on the side over here, it says it's not really supposed to be chelev, it's supposed to be chola de kodesh. It's supposed to be literally chola in Aramaic, means vinegar, so it means it's like a vinegary like substance that oozes out of the meat and ends up on the surface. Okay, so then the Gemara asks, my iria hikrish, my iria kodesh. Well, then what's the difference? Why are we saying dafka if it congealed? Kile kodesh nami. Well, even if it didn't congeal, it ought to combine together with the meat. Dhamma Rish Lakish, just like we find. Rish Lakish says, sir shal gabe yerek, sir, which is juice. That is on vegetables. It actually says two explanations. It can mean juice that oozes out of the vegetables, or it can mean sometimes you had fish juice or juices of other kinds that people would dip vegetables in, like nowadays we have salad dressings, so back then they would use sir, which is fish juice or something like that, for the purpose. So two possibilities what we mean by sir. Anyway, shal gabe yerek, where it's on the surface of vegetables, but stana for kakei seves, the emet kipodim, it combines together to make up the shear of a dried date, of a large date, which is the minimum shear that a person was chayav for eating on Yom Kippur. Most times when the Torah tells us it's also to eat something, loy soichal, or other such expressions like that, it means a kezayis. But by Yom Kippur, the Torah never says the word achila. It says, kichol nefesh asher loy su'una. It says, v'yinisim es nafshei seichem. You have to afflict your souls, and anyone asher loy su'una, anyone who does not do that, is going to get kares. So therefore, since it uses the expression affliction, then the Gemara explains in Yomah that the Chachamim figured out that until a person eats keseves hagasa, the size of a large date, he's still going to feel uncomfortable. He's still going to feel the affliction of Yom Kippur. Now, so the Shlokish is telling us that the keseves does not have to be made all out of vegetables. If you had vegetables together with some of the juice, either as Rashi says, juice that oozes out of the vegetables themselves, or juice that the vegetable was dipped into. Either way, combines together to make up the size of the kaseves for yom. So then, in that case, we see that liquid on the surface of a food can combine together with it to make up a shizuk. Why shouldn't we say the same thing over here when we talk about the roitev, which again, according to Abaya, is a congealed liquid that comes onto the surface of the meat. So then, why would it matter whether it's liquid or whether it's solid? Either way, it should have the same din. And the answer is Hossein Bashumi is super dietable. The difference is when it comes to Yom Kippur, the reason why the tzir combines together with the vegetable is because, again, the whole point with Yom Kippur is the Chacham figured out a minimum amount where a person is going to feel better once he ate. And therefore, when he eats vegetable with tzir on it, then it does have that effect. It does make him feel better, and now he doesn't have Asher Le'Sa'una, now he hasn't afflicted himself on Yom Kippur. But here we're talking about it's a matter of combining together to make up the shiur, to make a kabeitza. E kodesh, so now with this liquid that oozed out to the surface of the meat, if it's congealed, mitzanef, then it will combine together with to make up the kabeitza. E loy kodesh, but if it's not congealed, then it won't combine because the fact is there are two different things that have different shiurim. Food and drink, food, the solids and liquids have different shiurim. Now Rashi points out when it comes to Yom Kippur also, if a person were to the Mishnah explains in Masech Yoma that when it comes to eating, the minimum a person is chayav for eating on Yom Kippur is again kaseves hagasa, the size of a large date. When it comes to drinking, the amount is kimlo lugma, a cheekful. Now the Mishnah explains over there that if a person were to eat less than a kaseves of food and drink less than a maloy lugma of drink, even though it still wouldn't combine together and he wouldn't be chayev. Now, so then in that case, why should it be any different over here with the vegetables with the tzir on them? Rashi answers the difference is because there, again, it's a matter of that if a person eats a little bit and drinks a little bit, it's two separate things, and the Chachamim know he still feels the effect of the fast. As opposed to when you have a vegetable with tzir on it, since it's normal to eat vegetables that way, then the Chachamim know that will actually help calm him down and make him feel better, and therefore he doesn't feel the fasting. Whereas in our case over here, when we're talking about a juice that's on the surface of the meat, then you're not even talking, this is not even, it has a completely different status from the meat, which is, and therefore we're saying, it's only the status, it can only combine together. It itself can't be considered food, and therefore only if it's congealed, where then it becomes part of the food, then yes, but if it's still liquidy, then no. So that's the difference. On the side of it here, it brings a something from Ksav Yad, something from a manuscript that says another way of looking at it is on Yom Kippur, it's also to eat, and therefore whether it's congealed or not, it can still be considered eating. After all, on Yom Kippur, drinking is also as opposed to as far as Tumas Oslin, only if it's congealed is it the status and otherwise not. Next, we said in the mission of Akifa, we said another thing that is mitzayef, that combines together with the food, as far as Tumas Oichlin, we said was Akifa. So what is my kifa? What is this kifa? Omar Rabba Pirma. So Rabba says this means shreds of meat that fall to the bottom of the pot. When you boil up a pot of meat or a pot of anything, you have stuff that sinks to the bottom of the pot, like little shreds of meat and things like that. So Rabba says that would be the kifa of our mission. On the side of it here, it says it should be rova, really. But anyway, Omar Abaya, but again, Abaya objects. Who asked me? Tama Tumas Oichlin. Again, why would it have to combine together with something else to make up a kabeitza? The fact is that meat is part of the meat itself. It's perfectly edible by itself. Why shouldn't it itself? If you have enough of it, be matama tumas oichlin. Why are we saying only that it combines? And so Gemara answers, Ela Amar Papa. So the Papa answers, no, the kippa of our Mishnah is kavlin. It means the spices that are put on the meat. So spices, people don't eat spices all by themselves. So therefore, if you had a kibbutz of those spices, it wouldn't be able to become chameh. But now when it's combined together with the meat, and you have most of the kizayis of meat, and a little bit of it is made up of a kibbutz, rather, of meat, and a little bit of it is made up of spices, then it will combine together, and that's what our Mishnah is saying. Since we talked about food versus liquid when it comes to Tumas Oichlin, now the Gemara is going to digress a little bit to talk about various isurim, various things that are also to eat. What is the din of them if they're in liquid form? Or vice versa, when the Torah tells us that you can't eat something in liquid form and a person eats it in solid form. So, Tanan Hossam, we learn in a Mishnah. It's actually a Braisa, so it actually says on the side that maybe it should be Tana Rabbanan. With that said, sometimes the Gemara does quote Braisas, very widely accepted Braisas, as if they're Mishnayas. So maybe that's how it is. Maybe that's how it is over here. Anyway, so we learn a Mishnah, or Braisa, as the case may be. Hikbas Adam Ba'achloi, if a person congealed blood and ate it, now Rashi explains it means that he congealed it he put it over the fire and therefore it congealed. Tosfos objects to that because here we're going to talk about that he's chay of chores for eating it, but if blood was cooked, Tosfos learns over here and has learned earlier in the Masechta that no, blood that's cooked is not subject to chores. Earlier in the Masechta, in the previous Perek, we had more about that as well. So Rashi and Tosfos are going respectively according to their shittis that no, Rashi holds that cooked blood a person still is chay of for, as we had in the previous Perek, for example, about the case where a person cooked the heart without emptying it of the blood first, and he would still be chay of chores for it. Rashi had learned if there's a kazayas of blood, so therefore Rashi consistently is being consistent with that over here. And saying that even cooking the blood, he would still be chay of kares, and only as the Gemara is going to go on to say, if he left it out in the sun, then it would be different. On the other hand, Tosfos says that no, hikvah dam does indeed mean that he left it out in the sun. Okay, so in any case, so he congealed it, va'ochla, and he ate it. Or shehim chas achelev, or the other way around, he took chelev and melted it down, ugmoy, and he swallowed it. Chayev, either way, he's going to be chay of kares. So the Gemara says, bishlemi hikvah sadam va'ochloi, so I can understand if he congealed blood and ate it, then we can say he's chayev kimin de akve, even though you could argue maybe a person is chayev for eating blood only when it's liquid, but since he congealed it, achshuve, it shows that he considered it choshu. It shows that he considered it important. We have a general concept in many places in halacha that even when you have something that in and of itself might not be significant, but when you have achshuve, a person made it important to himself, then it has a different status. This comes up in Hilchos Shabbos as far as carrying. It comes up in Hilchos in halachas of things that are osur. It comes up in chometz b'pesach and so forth. So fine, you could say, in other words, that normally anybody who would drink blood, the various goyim who drink blood would do it liquid, they wouldn't do it solid, but he solidified it, nevertheless he showed, and then he eats it, it shows that it's important to him, therefore he's chayav kares. But you can ask if he melted down chelev and then swallowed it, why should he be chayev for eating it? The fact is, the Torah says about chelev that you're not allowed to eat it. It says the kochelav chodam lo sechelu, you're not allowed to eat v'cholav achilahi, and this isn't eating, this is drinking. So what tells you that? So why should he be chayav for it? And the answer is amar shlokish amakra. Yes, but when the pasuk tells us that you're not allowed to eat chelav, it adds the words it says the word nefesh. V'nichosah nefesh ha'ichelos. The pasuk says the soul that eats it will be cut off. So the word nefesh, l'rabas es ha'shoise, the word nefesh comes to include drinking. Why does nefesh include drinking? Rashi explains because nefesh implies anything that makes a person feel better, whether it's eating or drinking. For example, you have Rashi mentions in Parshas Chayesara, for example, when Abraham is talking with Bnei Ches about getting a place to bury Sarah, so he says in Yeshif Nafshechem, if it's your desire to help me bury Sarah, then go talk to Ephraim. So we see that the word nefesh means a desire. So the same way over here, then this is something that a person has a desire and has a hanah from it, and therefore that's included as well. Now, Tosfos points out we do have other cases in the Gemara where we see that eating automatically includes drinking. The Gemara, Tosfos refers to a Gemara, for example, that talks about Maisa Sheni. Now, Maisa Sheni is given from produce, and normally it's eaten, but nevertheless, you also have Pasuk refers to Maisa Sheni from wine, which is drunk. So therefore, so you see that achila includes shtia, the same thing, so why do we need a special pasuk over here? Why do we need anything special to tell us that drinking it would be different? Tosfos says, because the difference is, because wine is something normally drunk. So as opposed to over here, chaylev is something that normally would be eaten, and here we're talking about he melts it down and drinks it. So we need a special limud to say that you should be chayev, and that would be from the word nefesh, because after all, he does enjoy it. And the Gemara says Tanya Nami Gabi Chometz Kai Gavin. We learn a brisa about chometz in a similar vein, that also with chometz a person is chayev not only for eating chometz, but also for melting it down and drinking it. So Braisa says, Himchohu Ugmar, if a person were to liquefy bread and swallow it, if that bread is chometz, then he gets koris, just like eating regular bread on Pesach. The matzahi, on the other hand, if it's matzah, ain't yotzeh Pesach, then he can't be yotzeh the mitzvah of eating matzah on Pesach with that liquefied matzah. So the Gemara says, "Vishlema im matzahi einanam yotzei b'yodecha v'asav Pesach." Okay, so to say that if it's matzah, he's not yotzei the mitzvah of eating matzah. I understand why not lechem oni omarachmana, because after all, the Torah says you have to eat lechem oni, bread of poverty. B'hai lav lechem oni. This isn't lechem oni because now it's not lechem, it's not bread. It's not bread anymore. On the side, it brings a girsa from Shita Mukubetzes, then that says Kivin de Parte. Once he broke it down, then it's not bread. This is negeya, by the way. That girsa would be negeya. For example, sometimes you have a person who can't eat matzah who can't eat matzah whole. He has to crumble it. He has to use a food processor or whatever to crumble it down into matzah meal. According to that girsa on the side, he might still not be yosef because the fact is not lechem. It's not bread anymore, whereas according to the Gemara that we have in front of us in the Gemara, it's only if he liquefies it, then we would say he's not Yotze, but if he crumbled it into tiny pieces, like matzah meal, then he might still be Yotze. In practice, the post can say that, yeah, if a person can't eat matzah in any other way, for example, he has no teeth, then yes, he could, for example, use a food processor or whatever to crumble it into tiny pieces and eat it that way. Okay. In any case, so fine. I understand why a person wouldn't be yotze with liquefied matzah. Tosfos points out, for that matter, the Torah says you have to eat matzah. And again, we're talking about eating, and it's something which is normally eaten, then it has to be eaten, not drunk. Ella in chometz u'onesh chmoris. But you're asking, but you're telling me that if it's chometz, that if he liquefied chometz and drank it, then he would be chayev koris. Why? Again, the Torah says don't eat chometz. And now again, we're talking about that once it's something that's normally eaten. So in other words, if we were talking about something which is to begin with a liquid, like Tosfos said before, let's say beer, sure, a person can be chayev for drinking beer on Pesach, because after all, that's chometz that's normally consumed in liquid form. But here we're talking about regular chometz, regular bread that a person liquefied. That's not the normal way to eat it. And based on what we're saying over here in the Gemara, then he ought not to be chayev for it. So why is he? Sure, it's also hanah, Tosfos points out, but after all, a person having hanah from chometz on Pesach doesn't get kares. He's just oivan alav. He's chayev malchus. So why is he chayev kares? And again, omer shlokish. So the shlokish says the same kind of thing. Omer kara nefesh, because again, there also the Torah mentions nefesh. Nichos ha nefesh. L'rabis tashosa. And again, the word nefesh comes to include someone who drinks it for the same reason as before, because nefesh means that he has hanah from it. Okay, so far we have two cases where we see that kind of thing, where you have something which is normally eaten and now has been liquefied and is being drunk, where a person is still chayev kares for it. One is chaylev and one is chometz. And the Gemara points out, you have a similar brisa and a similar vein about nivas oif tor, as we've learned a number of times. The Torah tells us that if a person swallows a kezias of a dead kosher bird that did not have a proper shechita, then as he's swallowing it, he and his clothing become tamei. He himself, at that moment, becomes an avat tumah, and his clothing becomes a rishon l'tumah. So we have a similar kind of thing as far as that, where Braisa says, if a person were to melt down and liquefy this nivlas oftar by fire, and then he drinks it tamei, then he's still going to become tamei just as if he ate a kezias of it. Bahama, but on the other hand, if he left it out in the sun and it liquefied tahor, then the tumor goes away and he's tahor. Now, Bahavinanba, now again, we ask about that. What do you mean, why should he be tamei if he liquefied it? Achilak sivde, again, the Pasuk mentions the concept of eating over there. And again, because again, the Torah starts off by saying, and again, nefesh l'rabbis is a choice that comes to include somebody who drinks. So if one asks you, well, then in that case, why is he potter? If he put it in the sun, the Ran teaches out the question as follows: if you're going to tell me it's also only Dirabbanan, then you're going to say that the Chachamim are going to say when is he that he becomes Tomei only Dirabbanan, then you could say the Chachamim are going to draw a distinction whether he put it over the fire and liquefied it, where then you could say before, like we said before, actually it shows that he put in some effort into it, and therefore you could say that then he'd be Tomei. But now you're telling me it's actually Minat Torah because of the word Nefesh. Why would the Torah be making a distinction between whether he liquefied it by the fire or by leaving it out in the sun? Because if you leave it out in the sun, it may liquefy, but it also rots and becomes disgusting. So it's not considered a nevela anymore. The rule with nevela is, we've learned earlier in the Masechta, it has to be lagera, it has to be roi lager, it has to be roi, that a ger tosha, who's still allowed to eat nevelas, would eat it. And here, when it was liquefied in the sun, a person's not going to eat it because now it's rotted and become disgusting. So we have three different dinim, chelev, chometz, and nivlas oif tahor, where all of them, you have the same rule, where because each of them, the Torah says nefesh, then therefore even if it was liquefied, and still the same dinim apply as when it's solid. The Gemara says, now we do need the Torah to tell us in all these three cases, we couldn't have derived one from the other. Dikas rachmana chelev, if the Torah had written only chaylev, then you could argue that chometz le osim yineh, then you can't even learn chometz from it. Shekein le hoysa le shasa kosher. Because the difference is, chaylev has a chumra, there was never a time when it was mutter, as opposed to chometz was perfectly mutter before Pesach. So you could argue that maybe chaylev is more chumra, and therefore we're also putting another chumra on it, that even if he melts it and drinks it, he's still going to be chayev, as opposed to chometz, that's not. Now, Tosfos asks, wait a minute, then in that case, Chelev also, before the animal was born, as we've learned earlier in the Masechta, when you find an unborn animal in the womb, actually Rabbi Yochanan himself had said that if the baby is fully developed, a 9-month baby, then it's true you're not allowed to eat the Chelev, but if it's still premature, it's still in the 8th month of pregnancy, for example, then even Rabbi Yochanan holds that you're allowed to eat the chelev. Well, then that means chelev had a shasta kosher as well. But Tosfos says no, because chometz, as it is now, there was no physical change to the chometz between before Pesach and now, as opposed to the chelev, from when the animal was born, or according to Rabbi Yochanan, from when it was fully developed in the womb, then already at that point, there's a physical change in that chelev, there's a physical change in that animal, and from then on it didn't have shasa kosher. So therefore, you could argue that chelev didn't have a shasa kosher, whereas chometz does. The Eve Kasa Rahman Chomet. Conversely, if the Torah told us only by Chomet, Chelev, but also Nine, then you would say you can't derive Chelev from it. Shekin Lehutu Mikloli. Because there's no exception to the rule of Chomet. Chomet is also on Pesach, period. There's no exceptions to it. As opposed to Chelev, as the Gemara is going to explain soon, you do have an exception to it. So you had to say both chelev and chometz. Now the ikos of rachman and nevela. Now if the Torah had written only so nevela like asumine and nevela, you also wouldn't be able to learn from chometz. Shekin onush kores, because when it comes to chometz and chelev, there's kores involved. Whereas eating the nevela of an oif tahor, there's no kores involved in eating the bird itself. Just that now the person becomes tamei. If now when he's tamei he enters the bais hamikdash, then there's kores involved, but there's no kores in the actual eating. Itself. So now the ikos of rachmana minevela. But if the Torah had told us nefesh only by nevela, hanach le'asim yinah, then he wouldn't be able to learn the other ones from it. Shekin matamah, because after all, the nevela is matamah a person when he eats it. Chelev, as much as it's also to eat, doesn't make a person tamei. Chometz, the same thing, doesn't make a person tamei. So therefore, So you couldn't learn any. So you couldn't learn any one of them from any one other one. Each one, or each one has a chumra over the other one that you can't learn. Each one has a chumra, chelev, and not having shasa kosher, nevela, and making a person tamei, and chometz, and not having any exception to the rule. Okay, so the Gemara says chodim and chodel ayas. Yeah, fine. So we can't learn from any one of them individually. Therefore, the Torah has to say the word nefesh by at least two of them. Casey chodim etarti. But why don't we say let the Torah say nefesh by two of them, and we'll derive the other one from them by a tzad hashava, like we had the other day. But the Gemara says, hey Casey, which one are you going to? Which one are you saying we should learn? Which one are you going to say that you should learn that you should learn by a tzad hashava? You're saying maybe the Torah shouldn't have had to say the word nefesh by nevela, and we would learn it from chometz and chelev, because again, if you were to say chometz, if you were to say that chometz has no exceptions, you would say, but chelev does have an exception, and yet you see the same rule applies. And if you're going to say that chelev doesn't have shasa kosher, but chometz had shasa kosher, and nevertheless you see that the rule applies, so then we can do a tzad hashava. We can say what do they both have in common is that with both of them, if you liquefy them, then the same rule applies as if they were solid, and now bring in nevela in the same way. Can't. Malahanach shaken lohosel had shasa kosher. Because Malahanach Shekin Onush Koris. The problem is that Chelev and Chometz both involve Koris, whereas Nevela, again, doesn't involve Koris, and therefore you can't learn Nevela from the other two. Loilich Rahmana b'chometz, so should we say the Torah didn't have to say the word nefesh by chometz, the taste in a hanach, and we would derive it by a tzad hashava from the other two? Can't. Malahanach Shekin Lahoselam Shasa Kosher, the other two did not have shasa kosher. Now, again, the nevela, of course, could have had a time when it had shasa kosher, namely if it could have been shechted. But here we're talking about, Tosfos says two possibilities. First of all, in its current state, it didn't have shasa kosher when it became a nevela. Yeah, just like we said before about the chelev, the unborn animal. Before it was born, it had a different physical status. But from when it developed the current physical status of having been born or fully formed in the womb, then from that point the chelev was usher. Well, the same thing in the nevela. From when it got its current physical status, namely of being dead, then it never had shasa kosher. The other possibility, Tosfos says, is after all, when it's alive, it had an issue of Eiv Menachai. And even Tosfos says, now we learned earlier in the Masechta, we had a whole discussion several times of whether when an animal is alive, does Eiv Menachai apply to it, or does Eiv Menachai apply only when the limb is pulled off? We had it's called Behema B'chayel La'ivorim Amedes, Elav La'ivorim Amedes, is an animal considered to be a collection of Eivorim, such that even now, when it's before it's been dismembered, and any piece of it is an Eiv Menachai, or is it considered Eiv Menachai only when it's actually pulled off? Tosfos says, okay, fine, but in any way, you still have an Isser not to eat an animal that's not shechted, and therefore there was always some kind of Isser on it. So that's true of Nevela, and it's true of Chelev. So neither of them had Shasa Kosher, whereas Chometz does have Shasa Kosher, because before Pesach, this Chometz was perfectly allowed. You're going to tell me the Torah shouldn't have said the word nefesh by chelev, and you're going to learn from the other two? Also not. Malahanach shekein lo hutru mitklovan, because again, the other two have no exceptions. There's no exception. Well, chometz is mutter on Pesach. Okay, pekorach nefesh, obviously, but we're not talking about that. Pekorach nefesh is dorcha kol haTorah kol. That's a whole other matter. But ordinarily, when there's no pekorach nefesh involved, there's no exception to the rule of eating chometz on Pesach, and there's no exception to the rule that a person eats nivlas oif toher, that he's going to become tamei. And you compare a chelev where there is an exception, which is mutter. So now, when we've said a couple of times that chelev has an exception, let's figure out what that exception is. What exception are you talking about? Even a chelev behema legavoya. Do you mean that the chelev of an animal that was brought as a korban is mutter to offer on the mizbeach? Well, then no. Nevela nami shdiroi milikas oif legavaya. Well, in the same thing, you have something which ordinarily would be nevela, namely when the koyan cuts through the neck of a bird korban with his fingernail, which is how you do milika, and as we learned in Zvachim, that is how bird korbanos are supposed to be killed for a korban, and normally that would be nevela. If it was any other thing other than a korban, or even as we learned in Zvachim, if there was something else wrong with the korban, then the bird is in fact considered nevela. Nevertheless, when it's a kosher korban and the melika was done right, then you offer it on the mizbeach. So therefore, so you see that there's no, you see, That just because chaylev is allowed on the mizbeach, that's not considered an exception that we should say that therefore we should consider it an exception to the rules of chaylev. The elach chaylev chaya. So fine. Do you mean the fact that there's chaylev of a wild animal, and we're talking about lahedyet, we're talking about for a regular person to eat? Well, nevela namish during the lick of the chatas oif hakayanim. Well, then by nevela also you have an exception, namely by a chatas oif, where again by a chatas oif the only thing of it that goes on the mizbeach is the blood, the body of the bird is eaten by the kayanim. So again, even though it's something which normally would be nevela because that's not a proper shnita, nevertheless he uxeres hakasim that the kayanim should eat it. So, and yet we were saying before that, so either way, whether you can, whatever exception you're going to find as far as chaylev, you find a similar exception as far as nivlas oif tahor. If you're talking about the mizbeach, then by an oila, it's offered on the mizbeach. And if you're talking about eating, then by a chatas oif, the kohenim eat it. So, the Gemara says, oila v'chaylev chaya. In fact, the exception we mean is, in fact, the fact that the chaylev of a chaya, of a wild kosher animal, is mutter, lahedyet, the fact that a regular person can eat it, udekokashaloch koyanim. Now you're asking the question, well, in that case, then why is that considered an exception that's unique to chaylev? Don't you have something similar with chatas ha'oif? The answer is koyanim, shokim gavoya, kazahu, because the koyanim are only being zoicha from Hashem's table. So in other words, it's like a master has a table and he offers pieces of what he offers portions of food from his table to his servants and to the other people over there. So the same way, once it's mutter for the mizbeach, then Hashem takes it, says it's not going to be offered on the mizbeach, rather it's going to be taken off Hashem's table, the mizbeach, and given to the kohenim. So in other words, still it's not considered that a head yet should be allowed to eat nevela. You have, when it's something that is part of something that's part of a korban and it's from Hashem's table, then you have an exception. So therefore, it works out very well. We can say that chaylev has an exception, namely that there's no korban involved because you never bring a chaya as a korban anyway, and the chaylev of it is mutter. On the other hand, nevela, there's no exception where nevela is mutter for a hedyet. The only way where it's mutter is where a korban is involved. Okay, so therefore. So the bottom line is, each of these three things, nevela, chaylev, and chometz, each has a unique feature of its own, and therefore you can't do, and even any two of them have a unique feature of their own, and therefore you can't learn any one of them from any other one, or any one from the other two, and therefore the Torah did have to write the word nefesh by all three of them to tell us that if any of them were liquefied, then nevertheless the person is still, in the case of chometz, and in the case of chometz and chaylev, is still chayv kares for eating them, and in the case of the nivlas oiftar, becomes Tommy from drinking it. Okay. So the Gemara says, V'hod Tanya. Now, how about, let's talk about more about this matter of things being liquefied. Now, we learn in a Braisa, when the Pasuk says about the Shrotzim Hatzmein, the Pasuk says, after it lists the Shemona Shrotzim, it says, these are Hatzmein. So what's the hay for? It could have said El Tzmein Lachem. That means Lesser Tziron. It comes to teach us. We had this in the previous perek as well. It comes less with siron. It comes to tell us that not only the body of the sheretz itself is also to eat, the sir, the juice or the fat that oozes out of them. Siron is more like the fat, the roitzban or the juices that ooze out of their that come out of their flesh. The kippa shalahem, and also the kippa, and here kippa would mean the shreds of flesh. So if a person cooked a sheretz, then you have shreds of it that sink to the bottom. So unlike earlier on the Avod where we said that kippa and our Mishnah meant spices, here there's no question it has to mean something of the actual body of the sheretz itself, because we're talking about the tumah, of the sheretz, and then that wouldn't be applicable to the spices. Anyway, so the kippa shalahem. So now you have to ask, Lomali, why would you need a ribui, especially from the word hatzmeim, from the hay of the word hatzmeim, ligma mehani, you should be able to learn it by a tzad ashava from the three things that we said so far. Once we established that by chaylev and chometz and nevel and niblas oif tahor, all of them, a liquefied one is equivalent to a solid, then why wouldn't we say the same thing applies to shrutzim? And the answer is tricky. We still need a special limud by Shrotzim as well. De'ilah kalsu rachmana, because if Torah hadn't written by Shrotzim and we had to learn it from a tzad ashava of the other ones, have amini, you would say, fine, we can learn it from them, but when you're going to learn something from a halachomer, it's enough, as we've learned many times, we've learned most recently a couple of days ago, that when you're learning something from a halachomer, it's enough that the thing you're learning to should be no more severe, no more stringent than the thing you learned from. So therefore, mahasam adi ikka kazayas. Now, when it comes to all those three things, you need a kazayas in order for a person to be chayav. Well, then, the same thing over here. With melted down shrotzim, or liquid of shrotzim, then a person should be chayav only if it's a kazayas. Now, the fact is that when it comes to eating from a kazayas, when it comes to eating from a sheref, the shear is smaller. The amount is actually the size of a lentil. Rashi brings that Rashi brings like this. We know the Gemara explains in other places that when it comes to the tumah of shrotzim, then the minimum amount to be metameh of a sheretz is not the size of a kezias, but rather the size of kadosh or the size of a lentil. And Rashi points out, the Gemara learns from a pasuk that the Gemara learns from a pasuk that the same shear of tumah is the same as the shear for eating them. So unlike most things in the Torah, where a person is chayav only for eating a kazayas, when it comes to a sheretz, a person is going to become tumah, is going to be osur, and is going to be chayav malchus even for eating only a lentil sized piece. So again, if you're going to learn from a tzadah shava from the three things to shrotzim, then you would say fine. When it comes to the actual flesh of the sheretz, a person is chayav for eating a lentil sized piece. But if you melted it down, well, we're talking about liquids that exuded out of it, then it would be chayav only if it was a kazayis. Therefore, the Torah has to tell us mahosim ad deika kazayis, just like in all those three cases. You say that you need a kazayas. Afachadami, I'd be a kazayas. The same thing with the sheretz. You would think you need only a kazayas, and the fact is that it's not. The fact is that it's not. It's kadosha, just like any other part of the sheretz. So it needed a separate pasuk to tell us that shrotzim, and that we learn from the word hatzmei. Okay, well, the Gemara asks, "V'lichtu rechmona b'shrotzim v'lei suhanach v'ligmu minayu." Well, very well then. Why didn't it say it only by shrotzim? And we can learn the other ones, and we can learn the other ones from it. Now that doesn't necessarily mean we can learn all of them. First of all, Tosfos points out that you couldn't use a tzad hashava to learn one of them from all of them, because chometz, again, all the other ones never had a shasa kosher, sheretz included, chelev is no exception. But the question is at least that nevela should be able to be learned, nevelas oif tohar should be able to be learned from the combination of all of them. But Tosfos says you can learn an issue of eating, you wouldn't learn the concept of nivlas oif tohar, you wouldn't learn that it's metame the person. The Rashba points out similarly. The Rashba points out that nevela you could have learned from shrotzim, chometz you can't, because shasa kosher. Chometz you can't because again you have an exception where chelev is mutter, namely by chaya, as we said before. Okay, so the question is why didn't it say it only by shrotzim, and we'll learn at least some of the other ones from it. And the answer is from the Ikla Mifrach, because if you're going to try to do that, you can slug it up. Mala Shrotzim, you can't tumosim the mashul. That's precisely it. Shrotzim have a chidush where the tumah of them is mashul, is a tiny amount relative to the kazayas of the other ones, namely where again it's only the size of a lentil. So therefore, you can argue Shrotzim have that chumra, and you can't necessarily learn the other ones from it. Tosfos actually wonders why it uses the word mashul. When it's not mashahu, it is a minimum amount. It is the size of a lentil. It's fine. It's a lot smaller than a kazayas, but it's still a significant amount. Why is the Gemara using that expression? Tosfos points out there's other places where the Gemara seems to do that as well. Okay. In any case, the point is that we can't learn the other ones from shrotzim. Now again, Tosfos says, why can't we learn from shrotzim and two of the other ones? And the reason is because again, each of the other ones, chometz had a shasa kosher, chelev has an exception, and tackle why not nevela? So Tosfos says again, because if we tried to learn nevela, then we can learn that it's also to eat, just like shrotzim, we wouldn't learn that's metame a person. Okay, so therefore, in short, we need all these four cases. In all these four cases, we need the Torah to tell us that if it's liquefied, the person is still chayav, because otherwise we wouldn't be able to derive any one of them from any of the others. Okay, now let's talk about more dinim involving liquids. The Gemara says, "V'hodetanya." What about we learn in a brisa hatevel, where a truma and meiser has not been taken off yet, v'hachodosh. And chodosh grain that grew that was harvested before the omer or that didn't start growing until whatever it was harvested. The omer hasn't been offered yet. We learned all about the dinim of it in Menachos. So it can be that it was harvested before the omer, and you have to wait till the omer was brought for it to be mutter to eat. Or you could be talking about that it was planted shortly before the omer was brought, and now It's, and now it's picked. Now it's harvested after the Orimur, and you have to wait till next year's Orimur, etc. So the Torah tells us you're not allowed to eat it. So now, let's say, for example, it was barley, and a person made it into beer. By hektish, or produce of hektish, vashvias, or shmita produce, vakilayim, or kilayakarim, kulon, with all of these things, mashkina, yotzimahem, kmoisan, with all of these things, liquids that come from them have the exact same din as the actual thing itself. So with different things, then, in other words, so with tevel means that the person is going to be chayiv nisibidei shemayim. If it's chodosh, then it means he's chayiv malchus. Hektish, it means that if he drinks it, the shoygig, he's going to have to pay kerem v'chomesh and bring it hosham. And shvius, it means he's going to have to follow the dinim of shvius with it. And kilayim is also going to be malchus. So all of them, liquids, are the same thing. Menolon, so where do we know that? From all of them. You're going to say we can learn from the four things we said so far, chelev, chometz, nevela, and sheretz. No, malahana. All of those things, the issur comes by itself, namely each of those things is also bidei shamayim, as opposed to the things that we're talking about over here, So Rashi says, fine, we could learn from it a few things. We could learn tevel and chodosh and shvius and kalayah kerem, because you could argue all of those also was something with a natural growth. But at least how could you learn hektish from it? Hektish came, something came about, became hektish by a person specifically saying, this is hektish. So you can't learn from it. So that's the Gemara says, Tenach Hecha the Issur Boma Elav. So fine, you can understand where the Issur comes by itself, four of these five things. Hecha the Lav Issur Boma Elav, when it's Issur that doesn't come by itself, namely Hekdish. So Manolan, where do we know that liquids of Hektish have exactly the same din as Hektish? Meaning, in other words, again, so if a person had, let's say, grapes of Hektish, if he were to eat them, the shogig, then he would have to take care of the chomish and bring an osham. And now we're saying, if he squeezes those grapes and makes wine, then the same din would apply as far as the wine, and he would also be chayiv to pay Hektish for it. On the other hand, Tosfos points out that it's not just Hektish, also Kilayim, because after all, Kilayim, a person had to plant grain and grapes, or grain or vegetables and grapes together in order to be Chayev. And in fact, Tosfos talks about that Tevel maybe is not considered Boma Elav either, because the fact is you had to plant it in order for it to be Chayev. Or for that matter, the Rosh points out a different reason, not because you have to plant it, but because when does it become tevel? When does it become also to eat? Is you have to do miruach, you have to smooth out the pile of grain, or with various other kinds of produce, finish off the processing of it, and you have to bring it into the house. Now, Tosfos also explains that, look, why is the Gemara even asking in the first place, why is the Gemara asking in the first place, how do we know that the liquids have the same din? Hektish, at least we have a Gzeira Shava from Truma. And Truma, we can learn from Bikurim, and so forth. So Tosfos says, the question is leading mostly on Kilayim. The Torah never says in so many words, don't eat Kilayim, but the question is, in other words, that with most of the things we're talking about over here, the Torah says don't eat them. So now we're saying that even if they're liquefied, we have to know how we know that it's eating. But when it comes to Kilayim, why do we need a ribui to say that that liquids should have the same din when the Torah doesn't even say eating by them in the first place? So now, Tosfos is explaining that, in other words, the point of the Gemara's question is that the liquid that comes out of fruit is not part of the fruit itself. So therefore, you need a ribui. You need some kind of pasuk to tell us that in fact a person is chayev. So the Gemara says, as far as hektish, gamrinin may be korin. So the answer is, by hektish, at least we can learn from bikurin. Where bikurim, the liquids that come out of bikurim, from here in this week's parasha we have about the bikurim, so now it's very appropriate to talk about it. So when it comes to liquids of bikurim, they have the same din of bikurim, and bikurim is also not bome elav, because you have to be makdish, you have to declare hareza bikurim. So then we can learn from bikurim to the other things as well. So a point of Rashi just to hektish, and a point of Tosfos, we do need to learn from it to other things as well. To kilayim and maybe to tevel as well. Okay, bikurim gufayim menolam. Well, by bikurim themselves, where do we know that liquids of them have the same status as the bikurim themselves? And the answer is Tani Rav Yosi. Rav Yosi teaches in a braisa. The pasuk says in our parasha, it says that you bring bikurim free. It says that you bring fruit. So that means siyak and mezi, you put fruit as the korin, fruit, or in the case of wheat and barley, produce, the iyak and mezi mashke. But you can't bring liquids, as the korin. Now, continues the Braisa, continues the Rabbeisi. Hey, the Anovim Bedorfan, what if a person brought grapes to the Azara? And squeeze the Dorchon, and he squeezed them there and made juice out of them. Minayin, how would we know that he's also Yotze bringing that as before him? Tamad Lema, Tovi, therefore the Pasuk says that you bring, Asher Tovi Me'artzecha, that you bring from your land where the word Tovi is extra. So that means, in other words, even though he brought them in a different form, so now we would say that we're learning from this word Tovi that also the liquid that comes out of it is also considered like the Bikurim themselves, and is Yotze, the mitzvah of Bikurim, and all the rules of Bikurim apply to it. So Rashi, and this is a Gemara in Erchin, which we'll learn next year, Be'ez Hashem. And Rashi and Tosfos argue over there, are we talking about that he dabka question in the Azara, as how Rashi holds, or Tosfos said it would be the same thing if he declared them as Bikurim and then pressed them outside the Azara. Okay, in any case, we learn from the word Tovi that they also have the Kedusha of Bikurim. But the Gemara says, Ikala Mifra, fine, but if you're going to try to learn from Bikurim to other things, you can slog that up. Mala Bikurim, Shekain Chonin, Kriya. Bikurim have a special thing, that have special features, that they require Kriya. You have the Psukim, that you have in our Parasha, Rami Ovidavi, and the whole declaration that the person has to say when he brings Bikurim. You don't find that by these other mitzvahs we were talking about. Vahanocha, and you also have a special din, that you have to place it on the floor of the Azara, as the Pasuk also says, V'nachta B'tnashem Alekacha. So therefore, you could say Bikurim have those special features. Maybe for that reason, liquids of Bikurim can be considered Bikurim. So you can't learn from Bikurim to the other things. So the Gemara says, fine, Elagoma Mitruma. So fine, we can't learn from Bikurim to Hekdis, but we can learn from Truma to Hekdis. That Truma, we're going to say that liquids of Truma have the same status as the solids of Truma, as the actual produce itself. Now, Truma Gufamidalon, okay, so where do we know that by Truma? So the answer is the Itzach to Bikurim, because we have a Hekdis to Bikurim. So, the Omamar, namely, you learn in a Braisa, that when you have a Pasuk in Parashas Re'eh, that mentions a whole bunch of things that you're not allowed to eat outside Yerushalayim, and one of the things it says over there is Usumas Yodecha, the Truma of your hand. Now, Truma Sedecha, it'll be Kurim. That refers to be Kurim, but it's calling it Truma. Therefore, we can learn from that there's a similarity between Truma and Bikurim, and once we said that by Bikurim, the liquids have the same status. Now, fine, you want to learn from Bikurim, you can't learn directly from Bikurim because of those special features, free of Anocha, but once we have a Hekish, we have a rule, Ein Meshivin on a Hekish, you can't refute a Hekish just because of a logical contradiction or something. Therefore, it means Truma has the same status, and from Truma, we can learn to everything else. But the Gemara says, why still? Truma has a special feature. Malda Truma, in Chayovan Alem Misa V'choymesh. Truma, Azor is not allowed to eat it. And if he does, if he eats it B'mezin, then he's Chayim Misa V'deshamayim. And if he eats it B'shoygin, then he has to pay the Koyan and give an extra Choymesh. Which you don't have that by Hekdish. By Hekdish, fine, you have, if a person does Me'ila B'shoygin, then he pays the Choymesh. But if a person eats hektish b'mezid, then the Gemara is taking the view over here he's not high in misa b'dei shemayim. Which actually, there is an opinion, in Tosfos points out, there's an opinion in Sanhedrin, the opinion of Rebbe, that says that if he does me'ila b'mezid, he would in fact be high in misa, so now then in that case, the Gemara can't be asking that you can't learn from Truma to Hekdish, because according to that, they would have exactly the same rules. So the question would be, from Truma to some of the other things we said before, and according to the opinions, other than Rebbe, then yes, you could say the question is from Truma to Hekdish, because Truma, you have Misa B'dei Shemayim, whereas Hekdish, you don't. Okay. Elagomim mitavayu mitruma or bikurim. Fine, so we're going to say we're going to learn from truma and bikurim together. Both of them have this din because of the hekish that the liquids from them are considered like them themselves. We're going to learn from that to other things as well. But the Gemara says that still doesn't work. Malat truma or bikurim shekain zochayu and alayim nisav chaymesh. Both truma and bikurim have that feature of being also to Zorim and involving Misa V'Choymesh. Both Truma and Bikurim have the same rules. So you're gonna try to learn from it to other things. But again, Hekdesh, according to the way we're looking at it over here, does not have Misa V'Choymesh. So it wouldn't work to learn from them to Hekdesh. Fine. So the Gemara says, Ella asim truma v'cham mehana. Fine. So we're going to say, we're going to learn from the combination of truma and one of the other ones that we said before, namely chometz or nevela. We said on Amud Aleph that you have chometz and nevela, and also chaylev. We said that if you liquefy them, then it's still considered like the food, and the same dinin apply to it. Very well then. We're going to learn from truma and one of the and any of those, either chometz or nevela, we're going to learn from them for hekdesh and tevel and the other things like that. Now, Tosfos objects to that because you're going to try to learn from chometz and bikurim or truma. The problem is that all of those involve kares because chometz chaylev also have the problem. Therefore, Tosfos says no. Specifically, if you're going to learn, it's going to be when we say it's going to be either nevela and bikurim or truma or truma. Or shrotzim and so it's going to be a combination of nevela and bikurim or truma, or shrotzim and bikurim or truma. It's going to have to learn from one of those because by nevela and by shrotzim there's no kores involved. So that would be a valid limud. Okay. So again, according to Rashi, chad mehanach means any of the things that we talked about on Amud Aleph, chometz, chaylev, or nevela. Or shrotzim, according to Tosfos, it would have to be specifically nevela and shrotzim, and we're going to learn that from the combination of truma, v'chad mehanach, or bikurim v'chad mehanach. It'll be either truma and one of those, or bikurim and one of those. Okay, so that way we can learn, so in that way we're able to actually learn that the same din of liquids being like the fruits is the same thing, the same thing applies as far as the lists that we said before, tevel, chodosh, hekdesh, etc., which we said, fine, some of them you don't even need a limud for, because some of them are also intrinsically from when they came into existence, but we said hekdesh in particular, and maybe as Tosfos has said, kilayim and tevel as well, you do need this limud. Okay. So now we're saying that we can learn that now we're saying that we're able to learn truma from bikurim by a hekesh and say that by both of them liquids that come out of them have the same din as the actual fruit. So now the Gemara asks. So now let's revisit that point and see whether everybody agrees to that. So Gemara says v'hadetznan. Now we learn in a Mishnah. We learn in a Mishnah in Masechta Trumas. Dvash tmorim, the honey, we'll just say syrup from dates, the yain tapochim, or apple wine, apple cider, the chemet sitvanius, or vinegar made from sitvanius, which are late ripening grapes. So the word stov in Hebrew, and then in Tanakh, it means the winter, in modern Hebrew, it means the fall. But anyway, the point is, you have normal grapes, normally ripen, around Elul time, at the end of the summer. But then you have late ones that are still there in the winter time, and they never become fully ripe. So you can't make wine out of them, but you make vinegar out of them. So all those kinds of things. Or any other kinds of fruits or truma, of truma, namely when it comes to grapes or olives, it's a normal thing to press them. And they are in general the liquids that come out of them are considered like the fruit itself, like we said before by recording. These other kinds of fruit, various other kinds of fruit, are not typically pressed for juice, and therefore they may have a different din. Rabbi Yezim Chayev Keren Bechomish. Rabbi Yezim says that a person would be Chayev for Keren Bechomish. So if a Zor would drink that syrup or that apple cider or whatever, and the fruit that it came from was truma, then Rabbi Yezir says you have to pay the koyin keren v'chomesh as usual. But Rabbi Shua poter, whereas Rabbi Shua says he's potter because they don't have the din of truma. It's only called zeya ba'alma. It's called like a sweat out of the fruit. It's not considered an actual juice from them. So the Moshe says, "My plea. Well, what's the machlokas? If you're going to tell me that there's no hekesh between truma and bikurim, then fine. You can argue whether you can learn one from the other or not. But once we're saying that they're hekesh, then you can't slog up a hekesh and also a hekesh and also ain hekesh lemetza. You don't do it. There's no such thing as a half a hekesh. Once you have a hekesh, then it applies across the board. So then, what would they be arguing about?" The Gemara answers, "B'dun mino v'oki ba'asra kamitzli." The machlokas would be on the concept that we have in a number of places in Shas, where when you're learning one thing from another by a hekesh, are you learning or gzeira shavah or binyan av or anything like that? Are we learning everything? Are we keeping on learning more and more things, or are we learning one or we're doing another okli ba'asra, or do we learn one thing and then we learn one thing, but other than that we leave the rules on the target as they were. So in other words, you're gonna say that the Torah is telling us a certain detail by a certain thing, then you would apply that detail to it, and only one detail you're gonna learn from something else. Or do we say grunminamina? You keep on learning more and more things. Now Rashi points out that this is lav davka, because we're not necessarily talking about something on a daraisa level, because we're talking about different other kinds of fruits. Then those are not minatora. Rashi holds that only grain, grapes, and olives are chayav and truma, as opposed to all these other fruits that he mentioned. Tosva says, though, the fact is we can still be talking about grain if you liquefy grain. For example, you squeezed out grain to get juice out of it, then that would be something daraisa. The Rambam has a whole different shita anyway. The Rambam holds that all tree fruits are chayav daraisa, so according to him, all the fruits that we mentioned are in fact chayav daraisa. Okay, so that's the machlokes. Rabbi Eliezer says, "But dun mino mino." Rabbi Eliezer is going to hold, but this hekesh, you're going to learn from one to the other and continue learning from it. Ma bikurim mashkan hayotzmeh kemosan, just like by bikurim liquids that come out of them have the same din as the fruit itself, aftruman, and as we established before from the pasuk, where it says, "Tavi aftrumanami mashkan hayotzmeh kemosan." The same way with truma, liquids that come out and have the same din. Umina, and then we're going to learn not only that basic fact, but then we're going to learn the details of that din from that. By bikurim, even other liquid, other fruits, other than grapes and olives. Now you bring bikurim only from shivas aminim, but you have, for example, again, you could have pomegranate juice, or you could have, like we just said, syrup from dates or whatever. So then we would say also, they have the same din. So the same thing by truma. Also, other species other than grapes and olives are going to have the same din. And the liquids that come out of them are going to have the same din of them. Meaning, in other words, Rashi explains again that even though you wouldn't take truma from the apple cider, for example, but once you have apples of truma and then you squeeze them to get juice to get cider, then that would have the din of truma. That's the point of the yes. Rabbi Yeshua Sava, Dunina, Rabbi Yeshua says, sure, you can learn from it. You can learn the actual Hekesh. Ma bikurim mashkan hayotzmeh kemosan, aftruma mashkan hayotzmeh kemosan. Fine, you can learn that the liquids have the same din as them. But for Uki Ba'asra, but other than that, you leave the halacha as it is. Ma mashkan b'kodshin b'truma, tirash v'yitzer ein midyach v'niloy. When it comes to kodshin, or the word is supposed to be kodshi, Rabbi Yaakov Amdin says, mashkin, when liquids, when they become kodish as truma, what can you do to begin with declare as truma? Tirash v'yitzer ein midyach v'niloy. Only grape juice or wine and olive oil. You can't anything else. If you were to first squeeze your apples and then take truma from the apple cider, nothing would happen, for example. Af mashkana yitzimahen kamoisan, the same thing when it comes to liquids that come out of these other fruits would have the same din. Tidish fi yitzain, midachrin aloy, so it would apply only to wine and oil, but not to other kinds of liquids. Tosfos points out, okay, so that we're, for example, we get apples, you don't bring recording from apples, but fine, Tosfos says, because once we say that it applies to Rabbanon, again, Tosfos following their shitta, Rashi and Tosfos' shitta, that Minatoda, Truma applies only to grain, grapes, and olives, well then very well, once we're including other fruits that are Chayav de Rabbanon, then we can include apples as well. Okay, so that's the Macholikas of Rabbi Yezer and Rabbi Yeshua. So now the Gemara says one more case that we should ask about as far as liquids. V'hod d'tnan, we learn in a Mishnah, ein mevi'in bikurim mashke, you cannot bring bikurim as liquid, ela hayotzim and azesim and anovim, only what comes out of grapes and olives, only what comes out of olives and grapes, so only oil or grape juice or wine. So those are the only things we're saying that you can bring as bikurim. So we have to ask Mani, who would that mishnah be according to between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua? In other words, before we were talking about you declared them as Lenaya. We were talking about, as we said before, where you declared them as bikurim when they were still in the form of grapes and olives. And now we're saying that now you press them, So we said, as we said before, you can't bring wine or oil if you, to begin with, you designated them as bikurim. But you can designate them as bikurim when they're liquids and when they're solids, when they're fruit, and then you can press them, as we said before, according to Rashi in the Azara and according to Tosfos even outside of it. So who would that Mishnah be like? And the answer is Rabbi Yeshua. That would be specifically Rabbi Yeshua. Where he says by truma, You can learn, but you can only learn as far as the initial thing, which is grapes and olives, which are going to be the only thing to which, from which you can bring bikurim. V'gamalahu bikurim mitruma. So here he's doing the other way around. He's learning bikurim from truma. That when the Torah says bikurim, it means dafka zeisim v'anavim. Dafka means wine and oil, but not other kinds of liquids. So other kinds of liquids, Rabbi Yeshua would hold, it doesn't work. Okay, the Gemara says, "V'hod itznan." What about then the beginning of that same mission that says, "In soifkenas alboim mishum orla ela ala yotzim and azesim and anovim." A person gets malchus for eating orla only when it comes to liquids, only for olive oil or grape juice. Mani. So who would be that? Who would that be like? Again, Rabbi Yeshua. He drama dunminova ufi ba'asra. Again, that would be a point to Rabbi Yeshua who says dunminova ufi ba'asra that he learns. He says, there's only so much you can learn from one to the other. All you can learn about is grape juice and olive oil, not other kinds of liquids, which is why he said before to Rabbi Eliezer that a person can't be chayev when it comes to truma. He can't be chayev to pay the koyin, the keren v'choymesh, if he drank the syrup from dates or the apple cider, etc. So then again, so he learned bikurim from truma. Just like by truma, only grape juice and olive oil. The same thing bikurim. V'hodim ma'isudol la orla pre bikurim. Then in turn he learns orla from bikurim by exeira shava on the word pre. Where both of them it says by orla as v'aralta malah says period by bikurim pre ha'adama. And therefore we can learn that he would say that therefore orla also the dinim of orla the iser of orla and the malchus for it would apply only to grape juice and olive oil but not other kinds of liquids that are made from fruits of from fruits of orla. Okay.